Now, is 2020 the year of anger? There seems to be plenty of anger to go around this year. So many things to potentially feel angry about, from job loss to feeling stuck in your home with the same people all the time. And of course, stress over the election and the pandemic in general. Our next guest says we shouldn't dismiss that anger as bad or wrong. We should pay attention to it. It's telling us things about ourselves, and it's not necessarily a bad thing to feel this way. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been feeling more angry lately? Do you feel like you're seeing and hearing more anger lately? How are you dealing with it, whether it's your own or someone else's? What are some things that make you feel better? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ryan Martin is a professor of psychology at UW Green Bay. He writes about anger and emotion at alltheragescience.com. His forthcoming book, due out in January, is called Why We Get Mad: How to Use Your Anger for Positive Change. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, Ryan, I know we don't have a nationwide angerometer that reliably measures our anger levels from year to year. What are your thoughts on the idea that, I think some people feel anyway, that 2020 is kind of an angry time?
Yeah, well, first of all, I wish we did have that international angerometer, because I get asked that question all the time. You know, are we angrier now than we have been before? And I wish we had a good, solid answer to that question. I think there's reason to believe we are right now. Part of it is that there's a lot to be angry about. But part of it has to do with why we get mad in the first place, and the interplay between kind of the provocations, the thing we experience day in and day out, which we might be able to argue that social media leads to more of that than some other things. But also, you know, what really influences why we get mad is our perception. It is what when we perceive situation to be unpleasant, to be unfair, we're likely to become angry. And I think there's reason, I think, where maybe we're coming at the same provocation or the same stimulus from very different perspectives there. We're interpreting the same thing from different perspectives because of the lens we're looking at the world through.
Now, Ryan, I've learned from Star Wars that anger can lead to the dark side, but I've learned from talking to you in the past that it doesn't have to be that way. Anger doesn't have to be a negative emotion. How should we think about anger?
Yeah, so I like to think about anger from an evolutionary perspective. And so I think that it's worth noting that it exists in us because it served our ancestors, both human and non-human, in this really valuable way. It alerted them to unfairness or injustice, and then it actually energized them to confront that injustice. And so when our fight or flight system kicks off, which is what happens when we become angry, that's our body and our brain's way of preparing us to respond to whatever that problem is or that injustice is. And so if we can think of that as fuel, we can sort of harness that fuel and use it in positive and pro-social ways. We don't have to swing a club. We don't have to be aggressive. We can do much more positive pro-social things.
Before we talk about how to use anger in that pro-social way, and I guess to avoid using it in bad ways, let's just talk about our own anger detection mechanisms. How can we be in touch with that particular feeling and know when it's building up in us?
Yeah, I think that's really important. And one of the first things I like to suggest to people is to really think about what anger is versus some other related feeling states, or even not feeling states, but behaviors. And so I routinely talk to people who say, you know, I don't really get angry. And then ultimately, once we talk about it a little more, you hear them. What you realize is that when they say they don't get angry, what they mean is, I don't yell and scream. I don't throw things. I don't hit people. And that's all good. But that doesn't mean they're not getting angry, because anger is really just the emotion. It's that range from frustration you feel when you can't find your car keys in the morning to, you know, or at least back when we used to go places in the car, to the rage you might feel when you're treated sort of genuinely cruelly by someone. And so I like to encourage people to really think about anger that way and to start to pay attention to that sense of being on edge that they might feel in their body, the increased heart rate that they might feel. All of those little things that might be going on that really are sort of that rage starting to build.
is there a problem, maybe in 2020 in particular, with baseline levels of stress and anxiety? I'm thinking, I guess, something mostly about the pandemic here and the problems health-wise and economic, that and the worry that comes along with that. If we're in a sort of generally bad baseline situation, does that make us more prone to anger and maybe negative exhibits of that anger?
Absolutely. So I talked about two elements of why we get angry. There's this, the provocation, right? The stimulus, the thing that we say makes us mad. And then there's the way we think about it. But there's actually a third thing too. And that third thing is what I call the pre-anger state. And that is the mood we are in right before that provocation. And when we are tired, when we are sad, when we're stressed, when we're already angry, all of those negative feeling states make us more likely to feel frustrated or to snap in some way. And I think what we're seeing right now, and I think the pandemic is a great example of this, is that it's leading to this underlying level of stress for, I think ultimately everyone, who is sort of going in, of course, differing levels of that. Some people are going to be more anxious than others. Some people are experiencing it more negatively than others. But the job loss you mentioned, the financial challenges, the being trapped at home, all of those things are leading to this sort of underlying sense of discomfort that makes you more on edge, that is likely to lead to increase episodes of anger.
Talking to Ryan Martin, psychology professor at UW Green Bay. His forthcoming book is called Why We Get Mad. We're talking about anger in the United States in 2020 and how we can deal with it and why it doesn't have to be a negative emotion, why we can do good things with it. You can join in with your questions, your thoughts, feelings, and experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. All right, Ryan, let's take, I think, a common situation for people across the political spectrum. Somebody sees something, maybe in the news or on the social media post, that makes them mad, makes them feel a sense of maybe injustice in the political world one way or another. There are extreme ways to react negatively, but even little ways, like a negative response could be, I'm going to make a really nasty post to my family member or friend, quote unquote, or I'm going to do something bad in response to it. How can we take that pause and then figure out a positive way to deal with the thing that's causing our anger?
Yeah, so I often encourage people, I think you used a really critical word there, and it's to take that pause, because, our gut impulse when we get angry is to lash out. In fact, a lot of ways you can think of anger as the emotional desire to lash out. And it's, again, rooted in that evolutionary history. But if we can find ways, and this requires practice, it requires effort over time and intentionality, that we can find moments to take that pause. And that's going to work differently for different people. Sometimes it's about counting. Sometimes it's about deep breathing. Sometimes it's about walking away. But to take a moment and then start to think through your goals. What is it you want to accomplish? What is it that you hope to get out of this? And there's going to be different answers to that question based on different, provocations, who you're dealing with. I find for me personally, if the goal is just to make someone feel bad, right, and hence the nasty response to that or to that post, it's probably not necessarily in my best interest to go through with it. If my goal is to change someone's mind, whether it's the person I'm responding to or maybe someone else reading it, well, that's a different goal, and I can still use the same feeling state to drive a different approach.
How do we translate it maybe into longer term action? And this could, again, be anybody across the political spectrum to say, okay, my angry Facebook response isn't going to do much for me, but maybe volunteering for a group or a party of my choice as a poll watcher might, or donating or running for office next year or something like that. How do we figure out how to take that initial anger, which might be justified, might not, and use it to do something constructive now or in the future?
Yeah, one of the things that I sometimes am concerned about, and I've seen this happen to other people, I've actually seen this, even felt this myself, is what I think people commonly refer to as outrage fatigue, right? So, I'm outraged all the time over politics. I keep getting mad. And so I'm now at a point where I've just turned off the news. I've stopped paying attention. Or I just say, oh, it's just one more thing, of course, you know, and I sort of bury my head in the sand a little bit. And so one of the things I actually encourage people to do is it's okay to want to not feel angry all the time and to turn that off sometimes. But it's also worth noting that, you know, there is some value in staying mad for all of the reasons you just described. And that sometimes it's, again, there's a level of intentionality that if my anger can be the fuel that gets me to run for office, if it's the fuel that gets me to go out and protest or write letters to the editor, then having a healthy emotional life is about being able to sort of bring that anger up when I need it. And not just decide, well, it's in my best interest not to feel this way, so I'm going to push it away.
We're talking to Ryan Martin, professor of psychology at UW Green Bay and an anger researcher. He's got a book coming out called Why We Get Mad, How to Use Your Anger for Positive Change. It's coming out in January. He'll probably be back on with us, I imagine, to talk about it. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Has your anger ever led you to make some changes in your life or get involved, say, on behalf of a cause? Are you feeling stuck with what to do with your own anger and frustrations lately? Does it seem to you like 2020 is an angrier time, or at least we're more exposed to anger? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with anger researcher Ryan Martin, professor of psychology at UW Green Bay. His forthcoming book is called Why We Get Mad. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and questions about anger. Let's bring on a caller now. Francisco is with us in Sister Bay. Francisco, hi.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, what did you want to bring up, Francisco?
Yes, we need anger. Without anger, we would self-destruct. It's a defense mechanism, just like pain. If you don't feel the pain, your body is destroyed.
Francisco, thanks a lot for the call. And that ties into some of what you were talking about earlier, Ryan.
Absolutely. And I like the pain metaphor a lot. I sometimes use a slightly different one, but similar in hunger or thirst, that just as your hunger encourages you to eat, your anger encourages you to respond to injustice. But the pain one works as well.
Thanks a lot for that call, Francisco. But what happens, Ryan, when, you know, we are angry all the time? I mean, that seems like that's got to be bad for us, right?
Yep, absolutely. And I would hate for people to think that I don't recognize the consequences that can come from anger. They are vast and they are significant. When we talk about impulse control problems leading to violence, leading to aggression, damaged relationships, substance abuse, and I think I would also add health problems that can come from being chronically angry, and the list goes on and on. I certainly wouldn't suggest that we should be angry all the time or that it's good for us to be angry all the time. And I think that we want to find ways in our life to mitigate that. And there's all sorts of good ways. But to Francisco's point, it's necessary that we feel it, and it is good for us. And it's a defense mechanism some of the time.
Francisco, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Let's go now to Joe with us in Rhinelander. Joe, hi.
Hey, how are you doing? I love the show.
Thank you.
About 8 years ago, I got run over by a truck when I was crossing University Avenue down in Madison. And I got left for dead. And I wound up in a coma for a couple of weeks, and nearly every bone in the left-hand side of my body was shattered. And I was in a coma for a couple of weeks, and they actually called my family to come down and say goodbye to me. But I came through it. Then they didn't think I was ever going to walk again, and now I'm walking. And I don't get angry anymore. When you go through something like that, it alters you. And when I wake up in the morning, I go over the list of what I'm grateful for. And when I begin to get frustrated, I stop and I take a breath and I go over that list again. I have a home, I have clothes, I have food, you know. And I think making daily assertions of that can lead to a far more productive life and a bigger smile on your face.
And Joe, can I ask, thank you so much for sharing that. Did you, before this horrible collision, did you used to feel more anger?
Yeah, I ran a home building business in Cincinnati for almost 20 years, and I was a hothead. I had a temper, and coming out of that situation, I mean, I get irritated with things like anybody does.
Sure.
But I think part of the deal is the recognition, too. If you're going to let the weather bother you, you're going to be upset 90% of the time. If, you know.
Joe, thank you. I got you, Joe. Thank you so much again for calling in and sharing that. Ryan, what a perspective. He used to be a hothead, he says, have a temper. I don't know. I would imagine me feeling more angry after something he went through, but he went in exactly the opposite direction.
Yeah. And I mean, I think in many ways, what he's describing is part of having a healthy emotional life. It's and he used a really key word there. He said the recognition. And I think there's something about understanding when you should, quote unquote, be angry and when you should not. And that there is a downside to, you know, sweating the small stuff. And I totally get that. And it is great to be grateful for the things we have, but we should still acknowledge that at the same time, maybe the things we don't have or the ways we or others we care about are being mistreated is still worthy of anger.
Joe, thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to psychologist Ryan Martin from UW Green Bay about anger, how we feel it, what we can do with it, how we can use it for positive goals instead of negative ones. It can go both ways depending on how we use it. Ryan, let's talk about the case you mentioned earlier where someone does have a problem with anger. They take it out on the people around them in emotional ways or even physical ways. How can people, I don't know, be retrained on using and expressing their anger?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that you know, human beings can change, and they can change the way they experience emotions and the way they express emotions. And in some cases, it's valuable to, or that's the kind of thing that people can do on their own through self-help approaches. But I think once we start talking about real serious consequences, some of like the ones you just described, where they might be taking it out on people they care about or anyone in their life, hurting them physically or emotionally. And we're really talking about needing to meet with a professional and talk through a lot of this with a professional. But at that point, it's very much about retraining in some ways, how you think about the world, how you think in response to provocations, how you behave in those situations, and identifying better coping strategies.
Now, Ryan, I know one approach that I've heard about, and I think I've talked to you about it before, is the idea that, hey, we can't just bottle up our anger. We have to express it in some ways, punch a pillow or a punching bag. Or I think there are places where you can go and pay them money and you can, they'll let you break bottles with sledgehammers or something like that. Does that actually work?
No, it does the opposite. It's actually really bad for you. It's so bad for you that we actually even have a whole area of study referred to as the catharsis myth in psychology, which essentially is research done, a lot of it by Dr. Brad Bushman out of Ohio State, that really has identified that those approaches, they exacerbate anger problems in a lot of ways. You know, I had a soccer coach once who used to say, instead of practice makes perfect, he said, practice makes permanent. And he said, if you practice things incorrectly, then you will do them incorrectly. And I think some of what's going on when we punch pillows and when we break stuff is we're practicing our anger incorrectly, and it makes us more likely to do those things later on when we're in another interaction.
Okay, so how do we practice dealing with anger better so we're ready for it when it comes along next time?
Yeah. You know, I think the first step, being able to recognize it in yourself and think through what it means. One of the first things I encourage people to do is ask themselves, why am I angry? And sometimes that answer is really obvious. I'm angry because X happened. The next thing to do is to find a way to maybe stop and take a little break Whether that's deep breathing, whether that's counting to 5 or 10 or whatever, and then the next, and to get yourself to a place where you're thinking a little more clearly about what you want to do or what the goals are, and then start thinking about how to solve whatever the problem is that led to the anger in the first place. So having that sort of conversation with yourself, essentially, to say, okay, so how do I fix this? How can I direct this anger to fix this?
In our last few moments, Ryan, let's just take that moment, the road rage moment when somebody cuts us off and then honks at us. What? Like, how in that quick moment of anger that we're probably going to get over quick, can we dial down that instant response?
This is the part that is probably the hardest of all the things we're talking about, and it probably takes the most practice, and even in some ways being prepared for it in advance to the best that you can. Because, we respond quickly, and we respond in ways that we sort of grew up responding responding in. And so being able to, I think, think about it ahead of time and actually even reflect on some of those situations after the fact and ask yourself, am I glad that I did this, right? If my gut instinct was to give someone the finger or honk back or whatever, am I glad that I did that? What could I have done? And so reflecting a little bit on some of those situations, thinking through what you maybe wish you would have done, that would have been more productive and more adaptive, can go a long way to shaping how you're going to behave and how you're going to respond the next time that happens.
Ryan, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
Ryan Martin is a professor of psychology at UW Green Bay. He writes about anger and emotion at alltheragescience.com. His forthcoming book, due out in January, is called Why We Get Mad, How to Use Your Anger for Positive Change. We've got a link to his work up at wpr.org/centraltime.